There have been more than one of you that have asked a bit about what might be on the quiz. And I think I did give the other sections a little bit of a hint, a little bit of a clue, so maybe I'll do the same for you. Won't give you more of a hint than I gave them, but I'll put it this way. We have covered an awful lot of material since the last exam, even before the last exam. So we have cyclobutadiene and benzene when we first started writing molecular orbital diagrams. We have actually for cyclic compounds, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 membered rings, where we talked about examples of compounds that are aromatic or anti-aromatic or non-aromatic. We had some nitrogen-containing compounds we talked about, specifically pyrrole and pyridine. That seems like an awful lot of material to be able to ask questions from. So yes, we've now started talking about experimental evidence. So there's the hydrogenation question. Then there's what we're really just now starting to do, which I already told you wouldn't be on the quiz, which is directors versus activators, deactivators. So I'll just tell you that I'm planning to ask almost exclusively about, or most likely exclusively about, good morning. Oh, okay. Well, hey, but did it last all during lab, too? Ah, yes. I notice these things, you know. I mean, I comment about it, but I notice these things. Anyways, MO theory. I could keep you busy just with cyclobutadiene for a whole quiz. So, really, you need to know bonding, antibonding, non-bonding, and those different examples. So don't worry about mechanism. Don't worry about hydrogenation. To give you enough a hint without telling you which specific compounds to know, because no way am I going to tell you which cases or which examples that you're going to need to know. And even if the exam between the two sections didn't have much difference between it, this last exam, I do have all these different examples to ask from. So don't depend on what they see tomorrow in terms of their problems. Don't depend on those being the questions that you have to answer on Thursday. Because maybe I'll give them the odds and I'll give you the evens. So they'll get cyclopentadiene and tropylium, and you'll get cyclobutadiene and benzene, for example. That's the idea. Study everything. So, I won't take any questions as far as what's on the quiz, but does anybody have any questions for material that would be on the quiz? No mechanism, no hydrogenation, no synthesis. We haven't done synthesis yet. So that has come up in a couple of cases. Is how do we know we're drawing the zero line right? Unfortunately, you're either going to be good at geometry, or that's why I'm going over these specific examples, so that you know where the line is. For example, someone showed me the cyclopentadienyl case and said, okay, we've got this pentagon. Why is it that the line doesn't go through two of the carbons of that pentagon? Well, if you carefully drew out a pentagon in a circle, the line which has to go through the center of the circle doesn't go through those two points. So it's just being familiar with the shapes, being familiar with the specific examples. I'm not going to say here's an 11-sided polygon, try to inscribe it, and better make sure you do it correctly. I'm only going to do those examples we've already seen. So, Friday, we started talking about orthopara versus meta directors, didn't we? And I think I alluded to the fact that there are some substituents that cause the electrophilic substitution to increase in rate, so you get a faster reaction than just plain benzene, and there's other cases where you end up with a slower reaction than benzene. Although most of the time, orthopara directors end up being substituents that speed up a reaction, and meta directors tend to be ones that slow down the reaction. That's not always true. So I want to cover again about the different types of substitution, orthopara versus meta. and then move more into the speed question. Why does something activate versus deactivate?
So let's start with orthoparadirectors. Could you all start naming off some example molecules that would contain orthoparadirectors? Now, how many more lectures are we going to go like this where you all are so far behind in reading compared to where I'm at that you just have no idea what I'm talking about when I get up here? Because it doesn't do you all that much good, and I know you've got other classes you've got to study for, but that's a pretty darn fundamental question I just asked. And it just scares me knowing how close the exam is. It's not infinitely far away. It's coming. So I'll ask it again. Give me some examples of orthoparadirectors. You all frantically looking at your notes. What made the example molecule, which you could just name that one right there as one of your examples, from lecture last time? Natalie was trying to point at it, but I didn't let her give the answer. It's phenol is one of them. Why was it an orthoparadirector? So now if you've been depending on my notes to be able to answer this question, then okay, you would have a valid case to say how come you hadn't uploaded them. But then I'd say, what about your textbook? Your textbook got way more information than my notes ever will. So maybe there's a few topics that I lecture better than the textbook, here and there. Okay, fine. But you still got your textbook to use, though. And then, no matter what, I can go to any OCHEM textbook, in 2 seconds I can tell you where this topic is. Do you know where it is in your textbook, even? So, I'm not trying to yell at you in the sense of, your students, you need to study. No, it's just I don't want your grades to suffer. That's what I'm worried about. I mean, yes, I'm worried about you having knowledge, and this is a little bit of lack of knowledge going on. But then those panic looks you get every time I bring an exam in the door. I don't want you to be going through that. So,
all right.
Let's use some logic then. Why is electrophilic aromatic substitution difficult? Why does benzene not want to react? Because it's aromatic. What does aromatic mean? So this unusual stability that comes about by the fact that it's got cyclic conjugation. That's why we went through that whole hydrogenation example. Because we weren't trying to say which of these following is most stable. We weren't trying to compare cyclohexene, cyclohexadiene, and benzene and say which of those three is most stable. No. What we're trying to do is say, what's the heat of reaction we predict from this molecule versus how much heat did we really get? And if that, how much we got, if there was more release, or sorry, if there was a lower release of energy than we expected, that means that the molecule was lower in energy to begin with, so compared to what we expect, it's more stable. And benzene, we saw that huge difference, so there's a huge stability coming from it being cyclic. So, the first step of the reaction, that's the tough step of the reaction. Let's draw a reaction coordinate diagram then. And let's do a generalized reaction coordinate diagram. We're not worried about the specific reaction going on. So we have an electrophile that's reacting somehow. Thank you. In the case of phenol, there'll be two products that can result. For the moment, let's just stick with one, so we have a less confusing reaction coordinate diagram. So I didn't write mechanism because you've already seen that portion of the mechanism enough times. Every reaction has that same couple of steps. But let's take this now and draw a reaction coordinate diagram. If these reactions tend to be spontaneous, and if we say there's not a large entropy effect, which I don't know if that's true or not, but just to make our discussion less complicated, let's say that entropy doesn't have an effect. If this is a spontaneous reaction, if this actually moves forward, would you guess that it's overall endothermic or exothermic? Exothermic. Because if entropy doesn't matter, there's got to be some reason why the reaction wants to happen, and that would be if energy is being released. So the point of identifying that is to say, all right, phenol plus the electrophile compared to the product, we're going to go downhill in energy. But in between, there's going to be an intermediate. And it's a definite uphill step in energy. In fact, this diagram may not accurately reflect the energy differences, because I bet you in real life, to get up to the intermediate is probably way more energy than what the reaction releases, my guess is. But let's at least work with this much of it. Because let's say we were comparing two different reactions. Let's say we were looking at just plain benzene reacting with an electrophile and compare that back to phenol plus an electrophile. And let's say we were just looking at the first step of the reaction. Now, maybe the way I drew these, one compared to the other, it's not terribly obvious. But it is true that the energy, that's not the activation energy, just the energy of the product. It's a higher step up if we come from benzene than if we come from phenol. Why? What was the point of showing all those different resonance structures on Friday?
Show where the electrons could be delocalized or can't.
Okay, so show where the electrons could or could not be delocalized. What do we discover is true for phenol, but only if we substitute it in the ortho and para positions? Oxygen can become involved in that delocalization. So the more you delocalize the ion, the more stable it is. Lower energy for the to get up to that intermediate. Well, you might remember this thing called the Hammond postulate that I don't quote that much, but mentioned here and there. Learned about it last quarter, and what it says is the structure of the transition state most matches whatever energetically the transition state is closest to. Well, if you look at this, the transition state's going to be closer to the intermediate in each case. So it's like you've mostly formed the carbocation. The reason for saying that is that if the reaction with benzene making that carbocation requires a lot more energy than the same process for phenol, then the activation energy to do it for benzene is greater than the activation energy for it is for phenol. And smaller activation energy means faster reaction. That's why these orthopararectors tend to be activators, because the same thing, resonance, that allows the substituent to direct where the next substituent's going to come in, the same thing that's causing that is also causing the reaction to speed up. So, let me write some of this down. As a reminder, here's one of those resonance structures that's possible. The formation of an arenium ion, which means a cation made from benzene, is the rate limiting step in electrophilic aromatic substitution. As such, any factor that can stabilize the intermediate will also stabilize or lower the activation energy. So if you stabilize the intermediate, you lower the activation energy, that means you speed up the rate of reaction. And so, most orthopara directors donate more electron density in through resonance than they might happen to withdraw due to induction. And that's something I might have mentioned out loud on Friday, but didn't carry further. But it's a very important point. Oxygen, even though it's electronegative, has a really good orbital overlap with carbon. And won't say more about that right at this moment, because I just want to finish this first part off. But most orthopara directors donate electron density in, therefore stabilizing the carbocation, the arenium ion, therefore making the reaction easier to occur, which means it is faster. Since orthopara directors help stabilize an arenium ion, by providing electron density by resonance they undergo faster electrophilic aromatic substitution. So let's return to the question again. What are some good orthopara directors? So we have phenol. What about some others? Toluene, which doesn't have resonance, but what does it have? If resonance can't stabilize something, what else could? Well, what if you didn't have a lone pair, but you did have electron density? Hyperconjugation, that's right. How about some others? Styrene. So that's conjugation, resonance. What about some others? Anisole. What about this one? Did I give you a name for that one? Aniline. One of the strongest activators, because that lone pair so easily delocalizes, because nitrogen does not mind having a positive charge. Let's see if there's anything major that's left out. We have alcohols, ethers, alkenes, alkanes, amines. All right? What about meta-directors? Let's get into this question of the difference between a directing and activating ability. And this is what I was starting to say a moment ago. For example, the case of oxygen. Oxygen is the second most electronegative element on the periodic table. So how is it that oxygen stabilizes a carbocation if it's pulling electron density away from it? What? Not exactly. But it is because of resonance. It is because of delocalization. Oxygen and carbon are very similar in size, so they have good orbital overlap. And so the delocalization that occurs is beneficial. That oxygen can share electron density through resonance, yet pull some of that back by induction. But it turns out, in the case of oxygen, more donation occurs than withdrawal. So if you have an oxygen, sulfur, nitrogen, things with lone pairs in general, most of those will be orthopair directors, and because you're putting electron density in, they'll normally be activators, which means speeding up the rate of reaction. So although oxygen is very electronegative, and can withdraw electron density, by induction, it also has very good orbital overlap with carbon. The ability to share electron density through resonance with carbon is greater than its ability to withdraw electron density through induction. So, oxygen is overall an activator. Now, what about fluorobenzene? Well, it's in the same row, isn't it? Hydrogen, helium, lithium, helium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine. Same row of the periodic table as carbon. Still a good orbital overlap. But now it's the most electronegative element there is. So even though fluorine will delocalize, it's at the same time pulling electron density away from the ring, which causes two contrasting effects. It's going to be an orthopair director. And I'll write down some resonance structure to prove that. But because of induction, it's a deactivator. So although fluorine can participate in delocalization, it withdraws more electron density by induction. Then it provides through resonance. Which means it's a deactivator. Why? Because if it's pulling electron density away, it's destabilizing the arrhenium ion that forms. If you destabilize it, it means it takes a higher activation energy to get there, which means it's a slower rate of reaction. But now, just to show again why it's an orthopara director, let's do the same process we did the other day. Now, although I've admonished you all for not being able to regurgitate more quickly what we did do in those resonance structures on Friday, let me also warn you against just blindly memorizing them for two reasons. If all you do is you look at that whole page of arrows and bonds and wiggles and you just try to memorize it, you make one mistake, you'll be lost because you won't know, wait, you might come up for air, you could say, and look at the paper and say, oh, that's not right. But I don't know what is right. And I've got 20 structures I already drew. What do I do now? Crap. You don't want that. You want to think through what's going on. So what's the point of what I've discussed up to this point in lecture? How difficult is it to make the carbocation that's going to form? How does it form? Benzene opens up and provides electron density. So let's say I had any random reaction. Again, keeping a generalized electrophile. And notice I've put it in the ortho position because I'm predicting that this is an orthopara director. Let's draw the resonance structures that would put the carbocation in a place where we can see fluorine participating in resonance. So, fluorine is still an orthopara director. Since it can delocalize the positive charge form. Now for chlorine, it's the opposite problem. For chlorine, it's a bigger atom. It does not have as good an orbital overlap with carbon. It's less electronegative than fluorine is, but it's, how to say this without sounding confusing? The fact that it's less electronegative matters less than the fact it provides less electron density by resonance. In other words, it's still takes more than it gives. It's still electronegative enough that it counteracts whatever donation might occur by resonance. So chlorine and then also bromine and iodine has a poorer orbital overlap with carbon. So it cannot provide as much electron density through delocalization. Delocalization. And more importantly, it can't provide as much electron density by delocalization as it withdraws due to induction. So again, the other halogens are orthopara deactivators. So questions up to this point. Yes. An orthopara director is potentially an activator or deactivator. A meta director is always a deactivator. An activator is always a orthopara director. Should I repeat what I just said? I won't write this down because we're gonna reclassify some of these in just a moment, or further classify. But you have directors and activators, deactivators. The reason that orthopara directors are orthopara directors is because in one way or another they provide electron density. And most orthopara directors are therefore activators, because most of them cause that energy gap to get up to the carbocation to shrink. But halogens are the one exception. They give less than they receive, but the fact that they give it all due to resonance is why they're orthopara directors, but then they take that electron density right back again. So they cause that energy gap to increase because you're destabilizing the positive charge. So they are orthopara deactivators. Metadirectors are always deactivators, because what causes it to be a metadirector is exactly the same thing that causes it to deactivate. The fact that you're pulling electron density off the ring. Or another way of saying it is, if you've got a positive center that you've attached to the benzene, you don't want to put another positive charge right next door. So let's see if we can come up now with a list of meta directors. And I'll start us off. One of the strongest is a nitro group. Any other suggestions? An aldehyde. Maybe benzaldehyde. What else? Benzoic acid, okay. If benzoic acid, why not an ester? Are all esters deactivators? Are we caught up mentally enough at all that you understand the trick that I'm asking here? What causes something to be a deactivator? If it pulls electron density off the ring. Let's try this. Let's try a little programming here. What causes something to be an activator? It gives electron density. Why does it matter if something gives or takes electron density to or from that benzene ring? Because the first step in reaction is for the benzene ring to open. And if it actually has some electron density to work with, it makes it easier. So, metadirectors are anything that pull electron density away, right? Nitro, there's a positive charge. Carbonyl, 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 delta positive. All right? So, that's an ester. It's got a delta positive right next to the benzene ring. You all look like you're following that. So then I'll ask the next little trick question. Are all esters going to be deactivators then? What functional group is that? It's an ester. But look at the position of the oxygen compared to the example of above. Here, the oxygen is directly connected to the ring. The carbonyl is going to pull a little bit of electron density away from that oxygen. So it won't be as good as something like phenol or something like anisole. But it still has lone pairs on the oxygen that can delocalize. So this is an ester, but it's an orthopair director because you got a lone pair right next to the benzene ring. It is an activator. It is an orthopara activator. The only deactivators are halogens. So just highlighting that we have a lone pair there that causes it to be an activator. If we look at the other ester, though, there's a delta positive center there instead, which means it's going to be deactivated. So all carboxylic acid derivatives that have a carbonyl on the ring, deactivators, metaderivatives. So we have these three categories. We have orthopara directors that are also activators. And they, again, include things like alkyl groups, alkenes, alkynes, alcohols, ethers, thiols. What else we got? Amines. And I'll call them reverse esters. We then have a small clump of orthopara deactivators. And those include the halogens. We then have the metadirectors, which include nitro compounds. Anything with a carbonyl. So aldehydes, ketones, and carboxylic acid derivatives. And that's sort of the end of this topic. So we have a little time left. Very little time left. Let's talk about, well, actually, if you allow me just a moment. Does anyone have their textbook with them? There. Is there anybody asleep that I can just drop it right in front of them? Look, he's awake. Really, be very, very careful pointing fingers like that, because you might another day be the one that gets the, which I think, I don't know if I'm wanting to remember it, or if I'm really remembering an instructor doing that to me once. I think I only flew 1 feet out of the chair, though. There was a physics class that I used to go to that oh, was it tough not to fall asleep. Oh, well, there's a good little thing right there. Let's just see a little baby example of a synthesis problem. Let's say I want to make this molecule from benzene. And let's say that I have a more liberal policy on synthesis than I had on previous exams. What if I say that you can use any materials you want to synthesize, but you have to start from benzene? How would you do it? Let's see if we can help the whole class out, and let's name the electrophilic aromatic substitution reactions we've learned so far. So what are they? Halogenation? Alkylation? Acylation? Sulfonation? Well, there's a nitro group on this one, so maybe nitration, the one we started the whole discussion with. Oh my goodness. This is as painful for me as it is for you, you all, because I know not that many people love chemistry, but when you got no response except from one or two people, it makes it a little less exciting to teach. Point of the synthesis problem is one way you will get there, one way absolutely you won't. Because what happens if you put the nitro group on first? Put the nitro group on first, whatever your next electrophilic aromatic substitution is, it's going to go to the meta position. We want a product that's para. So this can't work. So we have to do it last, because an alkyl group is an orthopara director. Now, we will not, in this course, worry about how do I avoid ortho, because it's not possible. Well, maybe it is. Maybe there's some cases where you can favor one versus the other. But most of the time, for the reactions that we'll learn, ortho comes with para, para comes with ortho. Nothing we can do about it. But at least if we put the alkyl group on first, we won't get meta. So what kind of reaction would I do first? Halogenation? Why is that? Ooh, okay, so I had a suggestion. Put a halogen on the benzene ring and then make a Grignard reagent out of it and do some form of Grignard reaction. You'd have to do some follow-up steps because a Grignard reaction makes an alcohol. But we have ways of oxidizing, removing alcohols. Can you think of another reaction that would involve something more directly that we learned recently? A benzene reaction. Alkylation, but Yasmin looked hesitant to say alkylation the first time around. Was there a particular reason? Was there a particular reason? Because if we did alkylation, we're going to get carbocation migration. This is exactly the example I showed when I did alkylation. I took a propyl chain, a straight chain, and showed how you're going to end up with an isopropyl group instead. But what if we did acylation first? So we take a 3-carbon acyl halide and add it to the benzene ring, which is no problem Because we could just do a Wolff-Kishner reduction and knock off the carbonyl. Very classic way to do exactly this, to put an alkyl group on without rearrangement. There's actually one more way to do it, which I thought maybe that's where you were going, which is if we had an alkyl halide, we can do what's called a coupling reaction, which your text is somewhat updated compared to texts that I've used in the past because it at least does mention these things called coupling reactions. Since we're out of time, let me wrap up and say once we're here, it's just nitric acid with sulfuric acid to put the nitro group on. Yeah, we get the ortho product as well. We don't care. We just know that in real life we would have to separate the two products we get. So for today, this is all we have time for. Any questions before we wrap up? Then of course you're going to study for the quiz, but just so I have a little easier time, at least pretend to read some of the stuff we're doing now so that lecture on Thursday is a little less painful.